I was enjoying that so much I forgot to turn my mic on. That was that good. Yeah, that's pretty well life around the Justice House. I don't know about you, but I take full advantage of it when I can. And I tell you, let me just say, I am so proud of my church, of our church. I'm so proud of our fellowship. I'm so proud of the ministry. If you're on Facebook, and I despise Facebook, okay? I'm on Facebook because my 14-year-old daughter is on Facebook. And I'm following behind and making sure that all things are above board and that I don't have to come in front of you and apologize some Sunday for the post of my children or something like that. But a lot of pictures floating around out there from the father-daughter dance that was Friday night. And I loved sharing those pictures with former pastors of mine. And friends of ours, and my parents, and Florence's parents, and things like that. And as I was communicating back and forth last night with a former pastor of mine, here's what essentially I summarized in an email. I said, I'm so excited and proud to be a part of an out-of-the-box church that will take the initiative, identify a need in the community, take the lead on it, not looking to make any money, not looking to do anything special other than honor the Lord, do something for fathers, and do something for their children, their daughters. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I had a blast. I know that as I looked around, I know that young ladies took that very serious. How do I know that? There were a lot of dresses. There were a lot of new shoes. And everybody had their hair done just a certain way. Makeup. I tell you, as I looked around, and of course I was looking at my daughter too, it's not the 3-year-old that I remember. Wow, does time have a way of just kind of creeping up on you? I treasured that time. And what I think is most important lesson that we get out of that, yes, that we are not afraid as a church to do something out of the box ministry-wise. Hey, do you know that there were a lot of people there that weren't even members of our church, but they were able to see a fellowship in front of them, to see happy, joyful, wonderful people celebrating life, celebrating family, celebrating what is a priority to God. And therefore, it should be a priority to us. And there's, when I look at it, and I was communicating this with my dear friend, he's the former pastor of mine, and a dear friend, a mentor of mine for many years. What I said was, our hearts are in this type of ministry. Our hearts are totally given over to doing whatever God leads us to do in His name for His kingdom. Our hearts are 100% completely given to Him for guidance, for direction, and then we'll follow in obedience. Well, that's a true game changer. If you'll open with me this morning in 2 Chronicles, some of you may be here, and maybe it's your first time visiting with us, and I'm so grateful you're here. But we're in the series, we're kind of in the middle of the series, and it really is taken out of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, and it talks about the kings of Judah, Judah being the southern kingdom, Israel is referred to as the northern kingdom, and the brotherhood had a split. That's just the best way, easiest way to put it, and the southern kingdom had their own kings, northern kingdom, Israel had their own kings. A lot of times they were in disagreement with each other, a lot of times they were doing some backdoor deals and underhanded dealings with each other. You know, you can read all about that. But what we really wanted to focus on was this. Of all the kings of Judah in the southern kingdom, there were a bunch, and you can change to the next slide. There were a bunch that were, and this is the Bible's words. It says, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so you can go through there. Rehoboam, Jeroboam, Ahaziah, Ahaz, Manasseh, Ammon, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah. Do you see how many littered the pages of history that were evil, disobedient in the eyes of God? And here's really what it took to be evil or disobedient in the eyes of God. No one, they wanted nothing to do with religion or God. Number two was they were men of war. Number three, they were seeking wealth, they were seeking power, they were seeking prominence, and they were seeking position in this world. They killed people who were a threat to their throne. And so they did evil, disobedient in the eyes of God. They also worship what we would say idol worship, but they would set up false gods in these false temples in order to do despicable practices in the name of religion. They could get away with it. And then you notice that there are so many that did evil or disobedient. Look at who did good or right, and I write that as good or right. There was Jehoshaphat, that Joash, we talked about him 2 weeks ago. That was the last time I was speaking here. Joash, Amaziah, Uzziah, and Jotham. And they were either good or they were right. And we get from the Hebrew the word tov, and it means good. And, you know, God created the heavens and the earth and you and me. And after each element or part of his creation, he would look upon his creation and say, "It is good." And what it means is it is beautiful. They did something beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Or they're described as being, in the Hebrew, yashar. And what that means is they were upright, upstanding citizens. They lived a life that was really internalized. They lived a good life. They lived by that so-called checklist. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this. And they fell victim a lot of times to the way we fall victim to being a Christian. It's not about just right or wrong, although God wants us to be right. But it's about trying to put it all together, and being somebody that's good and right in the eyes of God. Game changers. That's what we've entitled the series. You look at how many who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Then there were those who did either good or right. And we'll cover one of those, Amaziah, today. But there were only a handful, three, out of all of the southern kingdom who were truly game changers. And I think those of you who have been a part of this series as we've kind of gotten into it and really immersed ourselves in God's Word have come to find out that I take comfort in the fact that even those three that were both good and right in the eyes of God, they were still human. And their lives were littered with mistakes, just like me. Oh, I want to be good and right in the eyes of God. I want to be the husband and the father that God desires for me to be. I want to be more than just somebody that they can look at. You know, you look at me and say, "Oh, he is upright and upstanding." Well, that's fine. But I want to impact this world for God's kingdom. I don't want to do something positive for God's kingdom. I want to be obedient to him and on mission for him. I really want to be a part of a church that does things out of the box. Gets outside of the four walls. I want to be good and right. I want to be a game changer. It's Father's Day. I am the middle child. Would you ever have thought that? So I have an older brother and a younger sister. And so at Mother's Day and Father's Day and birthdays and Christmas and Thanksgiving and all these things, I have to make sure that I'm the first one to call my parents. I have to make sure that they know I beat the other two siblings to the punch. They have to know that I'm more special than the other two. They would laugh at that. So I called my dad this morning. 7:30 Eastern time, I was on my way here. That's 6:30 Central time where he lives. So I called and the phone rang 5, 6, 7. Then I knew I'm waking somebody up. My mother answered the phone, and I said, "Hey, how you doing? It's me, and am I first?" And she said, "Yes, you're the first one, thank you. You're always the first one." I said, "Is he awake?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, go wake him." She said, "No." I said, "Well, I will call back after lunch and wish him a happy Father's Day, but you tell him that I called at 6:30 a.m. to wish him a happy Father's Day." Love my dad. Man, he taught me to work. Now, dads can have many influences on their children, their family's life. God calls us to be the spiritual leader in the home. That's not always the case. But God calls us to be that spiritual leader. And what I can look at my dad, I'm telling you, that man worked. He come up during a time where they didn't have anything, and he's earned everything. He's worked hard. He's taught me an ethic, a work ethic that drives my family crazy. And so I'm very appreciative of that. Growing up, I don't know what you did on Saturdays at your house, but when I was a child, I was one of two boys, and we were affectionately referred to as free labor for my father. And so every Saturday morning, my dad had this list. This is what he wanted to accomplish every Saturday morning, or every Saturday. And so he would be very patient. He would be up at 5:30 in the morning. We would get up at whatever time, have our bowl of cereal, sit there in front of the three channels that we had, and only one carried Looney Tunes, and that's the one I wanted to watch, eating my cornflakes, watching Looney Tunes. When Looney Tunes went off, you know what that meant? It's time to go to work. And so we would just heads hanging, mope around the house, wait to see what he had in mind to do that day. What project has he dreamed up to torture us children? And it was like this every Sunday, Saturday. Whoops. Saturday. And so he would walk out of the house all excited on his way down to the barn, and behind him, my older brother and I would just kind of be walking our heads, hanging low. There's so many things we wanted to do. There's so many things we wanted to do for ourselves, or maybe even just sit around and do nothing. But he had a plan for us. He wanted us to be able to share and enjoy and fellowship with him, and work and do something, create something, build something, clean something up, repair something, whatever it may be. And I can honestly say, I stand here before you and I look back on that period of time in my life, and I absolutely treasure those times now. But my heart wasn't in it when I was 10. I did a lot of halfway jobs. That's not the way my daddy would have described it. And you're laughing because you probably know how he would have described it. But I can remember having to redo things that he wanted me to do because I didn't do them with my whole heart to start with. Amaziah, 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Pay attention because this is the Word of God. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Jehoiadan, that's hard, and she was from Jerusalem. Get this in verse 2. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. That's what the Bible says. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not with his whole heart. Oh, he'd follow God. God had all these plans for his life. God had all these plans for the nation of Israel, for the kingdom of Judah, for all. And he did what was right, just not with his whole heart. And after the kingdom was firmly in his control, he executed the officials who had murdered his father, the king. I'll get to that in a little bit. Yet he did not put their sons to death, but acted in accordance with what is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded that fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their fathers. Each one is to die for his own sins. And that really starts to paint a picture of Amaziah, the half-hearted servant. You know, as I read this, this is a really simple outline. We'll go through this pretty quickly today. I thought about my Christian life. Confession time. I had the same Bible, still have it to this day, throughout all of my upbringing, even through my college years. It was an old King James version, brown, British tan leather, very similar to this, except a lot smaller. And I would leave it in the windowsill of the Sunday school room. Because then I could check the box every week that Sean brought his Bible to Sunday school, brought his Bible to church. I mean, it was important to look right, just not be right. It was important to check the box, yet not truly live a life wholeheartedly for God. And I mentioned that, well, you know, all throughout my upbringing, I had that Bible. And I can say with all sincerity, I never really read it. It stayed in that Sunday school room. It had my name on it. People would call and say, Sean, I think you left your Bible at church. No, I know where it is. I didn't lose it. It's right where I want it to be. Because that way I can just get credit for looking a certain way, even through my college years. Young adult years, half-hearted servant. Did I use my gifts to glorify God? No. Did I play guitar in a worship band? No. Did I speak? Did I preach? Did I teach? Did I evangelize? Did I do that? No. Did I go on mission trips and try to help? No. Did I go on building projects and try to? No. But I was a member of the church. And I called myself a Christian. I love this description of Amaziah, and I really keep coming back to it. It says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. And I just get this picture of when I was small, and my dad was leading my brother and I out to do what he wanted to do. He really wanted children excited about working around the house, and he really didn't have them. He really wanted somebody to come alongside him and help him and have that youthful exuberance and enthusiasm and passion. Sorry. God wants that from His church. He wants that from you. He wants that from your family. He wants your heart. He wants your whole heart. He wants your mind. He wants every part of that given over to Him, utilized by Him for His kingdom. That's a true game changer. Notice as we read in verses 3 and 4, kind of got gory a little bit, and I really should back up, but it talks about those who conspired against Amaziah's father when his father was king. And it talks about all these people in chapter 24, verses 26 through 27. And it says that in chapter 25, verse 3, it talked about him being right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly or not with his whole heart. It says, after the kingdom was firmly in his control, he executed the officials who had murdered his father, the king. You say, well, that's pretty gruesome. That's pretty gory. Yeah, well, you know what? That's exactly what David did. Well, let me tell you a little bit of a story about David, a man after God's own heart. And he was, and that's why I can truly identify with David. You know what the last thing David said on this earth was? And it was to his son Solomon. He says, you remember old so-and-so who laughed and made fun of me? He said, I don't want the sun to set on his gray head before you avenge me. David was a man of war. And this is Old Testament. And this is how things were settled. And so Amaziah, in very much that same line, I read it and I go, he was a man that was very passionate. He was a man that would go to great lengths and great extents, just not for God. Do you see that? Talked about him doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not with his whole heart. And yet he put it all on the line to make sure that his kingdom was firmly in his control and would never be threatened, that his life that he worked so hard to build would never be threatened, that he would take matters into his own hands. And with all of that passion, with all of that strength, with all of that creativity, everything that should have gone to God and in service to him. You know, I think that's where the rubber meets the road for us. We spend a lot of time and energy and money and resources and this creativity and brain power and all this. And out of the time during the week that God has given us, how much have we wholeheartedly given Him? I think that's where it really comes to bear. Notice in verses 3 and 4, it said he executed the officials who had murdered his father. And I just said this in the first part. Half-hearted servants, kind of like I have been in my life, live in a confused state somewhere between the trappings of the world and the obedience to God. That's really where it is. I mean, he was right in the eyes of the Lord. That means he had to look right to people around him. He had to look a certain way to the community around him. Oh, he had to wear the name of Christian, let's say, in my case. But I was far from it. Half-hearted servants. I think of all these times, and I probably need to call my dad up after lunch today and say, you know what, I'm just under conviction. I'm sorry for being, I can't use the word that I'm thinking of. I'm so sorry for being that way when I was a child. All you wanted to do was spend time with your children. And we absolutely tried to make it miserable. And everything we did was half-hearted. Everything we did, we didn't give all of ourselves. I think probably after I have that conversation with my dad, I probably need to have that conversation with my God. And I would challenge you to think back this afternoon and reflect on your life, your service, maybe even your church activity and participation. Notice also as we move verses 5 through 9, it says, Amaziah called the people of Judah, that's the southern kingdom, together and assigned them according to their families to commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds for all of Judah. In other words, he was putting together his army. He then mustered those 20 years old or more and found that there were 300,000 men ready for military service. Can you see where his mind was? Able to handle the spear and the shield. He also hired 100,000 fighting men from Israel. We'll get to that in a minute. For 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him. I tell you, if you have something to highlight your Bible, underline that. It says, but a man of God came to him and said, O king, these troops from Israel must not march with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, that's the northern kingdom, or with any of the people from Ephraim, that's one of the tribes. Even if you go and fight courageously in battle, God will overthrow you before the enemy, for God has the power to help or to overthrow. And Amaziah asked the man of God, but what about the 100 talents I paid for these Israelite troops? Half-hearted servants question the logic of faithful obedience. Half-hearted servants can't get their foot out of the world long enough to listen to the man of God, share the word of God from the book of God so that it can truly change our lives for God. I love this. The man of God came and the man of God spoke, and Amaziah, who appeared to be right in the eyes of God, but not with his whole heart, questioned the man of God. And I'm not using this to say you should never question me, because you should always. I'm saying this. If God clearly speaks to you through His Word, don't wrestle with it. Don't play around with it. By all means, don't ignore it. Faithfully obey it. They question the logic of faithful obedience. I made this little note in here, and it says, in the case of Amaziah, he just essentially involved himself with the things of this world. He absolutely was so immersed in the world and in the culture of the world that although he appeared one way, he was half-hearted at best about that. Although he appeared right in the eyes of God, and I tell you, this speaks to me because that's my life. But he was totally given over to the world. When the man of God came and the man of God spoke, he immediately questioned the man of God. Notice also as we move verses 14 through 28, that's a large section there. And I'll kind of skip through it a little bit. It says that when Amaziah returned from the slaughtering the Edomites. See, he eventually obeyed the man of God. He told the Israelites to, or the Israel, go back although I've already paid you, go back. That made them very mad because he had welched on a deal. And it says that when he had returned from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought back the gods of the people of Seir. That's where he was fighting, and that's the people he had conquered. He brought back their gods. He set them up as his own gods, and he bowed down to them, and he burned sacrifices to them. And in verse 15, the anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent a prophet to him, another man of God. And he says, why do you consult these people's gods, which could not even save their own people from your hand? Doesn't make any sense. Half-hearted servants, listen to me. Half-hearted servants will make the same mistakes twice. Half-hearted servants will make the same mistakes three times, four times. Half-hearted servants are only concerned about looking a certain way, not acting a certain way. Half-hearted servants do not learn from past mistakes. Told you, I look back and I guess I have a lot of apologizing to do. My dad would probably play it off. No, I don't even remember that. Yeah. I'm sure you do. Friday, boy, we've had a lot of rain lately, a lot of sunshine. And so the grass at my house, I've been in Orlando all week. The grass at my house was embarrassingly high. Now, I have a 10-year-old son. Free labor. And needless to say, he had an assignment Friday. He mows my grass anyway. He does that. Well, his heart wasn't in it. And I know he'd be honest because he really has trouble lying sometimes. So he just has to be honest. So he'd tell you, yeah, my heart wasn't in it. So as my habit, a lot of times at lunchtime, noontime, in my office, I will call my wife at home and say, hey, I'm about to leave. I'm on my way home. And she'll say, what would you like to eat? And then I'll tell her, you know, tuna fish sandwich, turkey sandwich, something like that. And then when I get home, it's either just about ready or it's already ready. And, you know, just part of our routine. And she said, your son. You know where that's going. Your son is finally out mowing the grass. I said, well, great. She says, not when you see it. I got home 10, 15 minutes later, and there was a push mower abandoned in the front yard. Now, folks, my yard is less than a quarter of an acre. And the one portion that he had attempted to mow, there was grass sprigs sticking up. Everywhere around where he had tried to turn a corner, it was all messed up. It just was a half-hearted effort. It was a very poor job. When I got into the house, all he could do was just drink his bottle of water and say, yeah, I got hot. It's really hot out there. And it was really hot. So I got to thinking, I laughed it off because I really said, you know, not a problem. I can fix this later, or he can fix it later. But I really got to thinking, that's how I treat God a lot of times. He provides me with everything I need, every tool I need. You know, I had gassed up the mower. I had actually raised the mower deck to make it a little bit easier. All these things I had prepared, all I needed was just a little help. All I needed was just a little obedience. Actually, what I needed was wholehearted, faithful obedience. And that's what God needs from us. That's what he desires from us. I shouldn't say need. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. He wants us. He wants your heart. He wants your creativity. He wants your everything that you've got. He wants your passion. He wants your desire. He wants all of that. Half-hearted servants. Amaziah. I'll jump to the takeaway. I don't want to spend too much time beating this to death. Give God your best. If there's one thing that I can learn about Amaziah, it's this, and learn from this whole account. You can be half-hearted and look right. You can be half-hearted and be a part of this fellowship. You can be half-hearted and coast along, but you will not be giving God your best. And doesn't He give us His every day? Every breath you take, God has given it to you. Every rain shower, ray of sunshine, God gives to you. Give Him your best. How about this? Honor God through complete obedience. All I needed was my yard mowed. And technically, He did. He just didn't do a good job. And I think sometimes we look at church service that way. Technically, we're here. Check. Technically, I brought my Bible. Check. Technically, I did give. Although, probably not what God requires or desires. So I guess on technicality, we could call ourselves Christians. Learn from past mistakes and do not make them again. If I have one thing that I wish I could go back and do, and I've said this to my wife many times, there's a long list, trust me. But I would be sincere in my relationship with God. I've sure wasted a lot of precious time that He gave me. Maybe you could go through in your assignment for this week, go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and get a little more in depth about a half-hearted servant. Did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Really didn't leave a legacy. I'm going to call my father this afternoon. Remind him first and foremost that I was the first one to call. I mean, I can't get away from that. That is, I am who I am. You know, got to be first. And then I'm probably going to say, you know, I don't have to worry about him looking at this online because he's just not going to do it. But I'll say, you know, I've been thinking of how miserable I used to behave. And I'm sorry. I think that'd make his day. And I think I'm going to do a little talking and speaking and carrying on with God. Hopefully, mostly listening. Because I know me. And folks, what we've talked about today has been the pattern of my life. I'm just now coming around to not making these same mistakes twice. I think the greatest thing that has ever been offered to me is grace. Undeserved. I didn't behave good enough to earn anything. But God sent His Son. As miserable and half-hearted of a person as I was, sent His Son for me so that I might know life, abundant life, so that I might have forgiveness of my sin, and there's plenty of that, and so that I would be forever changed. Radically redirected, no longer that half-hearted person who is only interested in himself, but now a heart given over to God, radically changed by His grace and mercy, seeking to not make the same mistakes twice, seeking to do something important, good and right with this life that He has given me, to be a game changer in a community, in a church, in a country, in a world, to go above and beyond and glorify Him, give Him my best. That is the invitation for every one of you here today. I'm getting to know you. You're sure getting to know me. And I think we have a lot in common in this area. We're here because we want to be here. And we're tired of either not being in a church or just being half-heartedly associated with a church. But we want to start doing something real, incredible, and beneficial for the kingdom of God, even if it is outside the traditional box. And I applaud you for that. And I ask you to join with me and help me as I help you. Let's pray. Father, I